All right, I'd invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's pray.
Father, give us eyes to see your Son, Jesus, who you really are. We want to know you, Jesus. We want to grow in our affections, in our amazement, in our wonder at who you are and why you came. So open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to receive you, to believe in you, to trust you completely, to walk with you, to enjoy you, to follow you wherever you lead. Be at work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We invite you in the mighty name Jesus. Amen. This Advent season, we are taking the opportunity to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're looking at some of the titles of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, looking at who he is, looking at what he came to do. We've looked at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, which calls Jesus the apostle, the one sent out from his Father, the only begotten Son, sent to become one of us, to set us free, to show us grace. We looked at Jesus, our great high priest, our only mediator between God and man, the only eternal priest, the only sinless priest who offered himself as the once for all sacrifice for our sins, who then entered the Holy of Holies in heaven and sat down at the right hand of his Father in glory. We looked at Jesus, our brother, in Hebrews chapter 2. Although Jesus is the only begotten Son, although he is from above and we are from below, when we put our trust in Jesus, who he truly is, what he has done for us, we are adopted into his family. He is not ashamed to call us his brothers. We're included in the Son's inheritance. The book of Hebrews begins this way. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Things we learn from this passage. Our God is a communicating God. He speaks. He communicates. He spoke this world into existence. And in Psalm 19, we see the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 50, the heavens declare his righteousness. Back in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Yahweh God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And Yahweh God said it was very good. He gave Adam instructions. He walked with him. He spoke with him. Our God is a communicating God. The Lord spoke to Cain, to Noah, Abram, Hagar, Rebecca, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. God spoke sometimes directly, sometimes through an angel, through a donkey, through a burning bush. He spoke through thunder and lightning and cloud and thick darkness, through a still small voice. He wrote on stone tablets. His finger wrote on the palace wall. He spoke to his people by his spirit through the prophets. God spoke at many times in many ways. In contrast to all these many times, in these last days, he has spoken. God spoke, but now God has spoken. His word, like his character, is and always has been true and unchanging, but it was unfolding bit by bit, gaining clarity, gaining resolution, like pieces of a puzzle without the picture on the box top, some in darker hues, some with brighter colors, some blurred, some with vivid clarity, slowly taking shape, coming together, each piece pointing to something bigger. How does it all fit together? God spoke at many times and in many ways, but now he has spoken. He has given us his final word. It is definitive, absolute, complete. The picture on the box, what every piece was pointing to, is Jesus, God's only son. God has spoken. Mic drop. In contrast to the many ways he spoke in times past, God has spoken in son. Beyond in creation, in direct conversation, in prophetic dreams and visions, in words written, beyond all these ways, God has spoken in Son. Now that makes for awkward English, but it's a very literal translation. He has spoken to us in Son. I'm speaking to you in English. Abraham is in the back translating my words, speaking in Spanish. That's the language. That's the medium of communicating the ideas in my head over into yours. God's final revelation was not in Hebrew, in Aramaic, in Greek. It was in Son. Jesus is the way God communicates most fully with us. Long ago, and many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word angel means messenger. Hebrews 1:14 calls them ministering spirits sent out to serve. God at times sent angels to communicate his message, but in these last days he has spoken in Son. Hebrews is all about Jesus being superior. Jesus is greater than Moses, greater than Aaron, greater than the angels. Angels were sent with messages about someone else. It wasn't about them. They usually started their message with two words. Fear not. Why? Well, because they were scary. But also because God alone is to be feared. And if the recipient of the message attempted to worship the angel, as we see in Revelation 19, Revelation 22, they quickly refused. You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you. Worship God. Jesus also was sent from his Father with a message. Jesus is the greater messenger sent from his Father with a message and as the message. The message Jesus was sent with was Jesus himself. Jesus is both the language and the content of the message, both the method of communication and the message itself. Where angels were sent to point away from themselves to someone greater, Jesus receives worship as the only Son of God. Jesus, creator of all things, heir of all things, radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of God's nature, sovereign over all things. This is what John's gospel is all about. John gives us his purpose statement in John chapter 20. After doubting Thomas confessed Jesus to be my Lord and my God. John 20 verse 30 says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, what we believe about Jesus is truly a matter of eternal life or eternal death. It matters that we get Jesus right. John, in his short letter, 1 John, introduces Jesus this way. John, 1 John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made known to us, manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The word of life was from the beginning. That life was made known, was manifest, put on display for eyewitnesses to see, to hear, to touch, to experience. The eternal word of life who was with the Father was made known so that we could make him known. The Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John's introduction parallels the introduction to John's gospel, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus existed in the beginning. Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. Jesus always was in relationship with his Father. The Father made everything that was made through his Son Jesus, through the Word. In Jesus is life and light, shining in the darkness, making unseen things seen. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word who was with God and who was God, the only Son from the Father, became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Eyewitnesses saw his glory, the glory of God in the face of Jesus, full of grace and truth. As Colossians tells us, Colossians 2 verse 9, for in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. God in a body. God with skin on. God in flesh, incarnate. God with us. The incarnation. Not just a little bit of God, the whole fullness of deity. God with us, fully God in the person of Jesus. John goes on, John 1:16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. The Word who was with God and who was himself God, the only begotten God who is at the Father's side, he has made God known. The word translated made known is exegeseto. That's where we get our English word exegesis or exegetical. It's used primarily in reference to Bible study or Bible teaching that gets out of the text what it means, what is really there, what the author intended to communicate. It's the word means to lead out, to bring out of the text what's intrinsically there. In contrast to eisegesis, eis is in, ex is out in Greek. Eisegesis is where you read into the text. You put into the text your own preconceived ideas, what you want to see there, not what's really there. Many people do that. They project onto the text their own understandings rather than come to the text and say, I want to hear what it says. I want to draw out what's really there. Jesus exegetes his Father. He draws out, puts on display, makes known who God really is. If you want to know God, to know who God is, to know what God is like, fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. Jesus came. Jesus became human to show us who God is, to make his Father known. In Matthew 17, Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a high mountain by themselves. And it says in Matthew 17, he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun. and his clothes became white as light. Mark says radiant, intensely white. Luke says dazzling white. Verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The Father interrupts Peter's ramblings and spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And notice, Jesus wasn't talking at this point. He was shining. He was putting on display the glory of God. The Word who was with God and who was God became flesh to make God known through who he was. Not only what he said, but who he was. This is what the prophets were pointing to. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, that the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the fulfillment. Matthew 1, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is the final word, both the messenger and the message. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, in Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power, the baby in the manger, upholding the universe by the word of his power. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you belong to him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Written so that we today can open and read and hear your voice. You are a God who communicates, who has spoken to us. And thank you for the Word made flesh. Jesus, you left your Father's side. You came down to become human, to seek and to save the lost, sinners like me, the broken, the hurting, the needy. You came to pursue your enemies and make us your friends, to invite us in to forgive our sins, to bring us into relationship with you, with your Father, into fellowship. What a treasure we have. In the manger, God, the fullness of deity with us, with skin on. Help us never to cease to wonder and be amazed at the lengths to which you went to save sinners like us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve us communion, fellowship, meal. This is an opportunity to commune with God and one another, to enjoy the blood-bought relationship that we enjoy. Sinners saved by grace, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, made new, transformed by the Holy Spirit. We have been granted through Jesus Christ access to the Father through the grace, the undeserved kindness of Jesus. I did nothing to merit it, nothing to deserve it, nothing to earn it, will never be able to pay it off. It's simply a gift. And when you take a gift out from under the Christmas tree, a gift given to you, you don't say, wow, this is a really expensive gift. It's going to take me a while to pay this back. You don't understand gift. Gift is gift. It's not, well, now you owe me. And we have that messed up. If somebody gives you a gift that you weren't expecting, what goes through your mind? Oh man, I didn't think to give them a gift. I need to figure out what I can give them, because it's the, they give me a gift, I need to give them a gift. It's a gift. It's not you pay it back. You receive it humbly, gratefully, and you say thank you. See, we tend to want to pay things off, pay things back. We don't want to be in someone else's debt. We are forever in the debt of Almighty God. He gave the ultimate gift that we can never pay back. Humbly, we receive and say thank you. That's all we can do, is we receive. We have bread that reminds us of Jesus' body broken on the cross for me. Can we pay that back? The infinite, eternal Son of God left his Father's side to become human, to die a brutal death for my sins, to suffer the wrath of God for my sins. How are you going to pay that back? You can't. It's a gift you receive through faith. You simply say, I need it. I want it. Thank you. I'll take it. I'll enjoy it. Thank you. This is a gift for sinners who simply, humbly receive. If you're a sinner who has received God's grace freely given, take bread, take juice, reflect on who Jesus is, why he came, what he did for you. Receive the gift. Hold that in your hand and treasure him. And once we've all been served as a body of believers, in fellowship with him and one another, we'll take that together in remembrance of him. Jesus, what a wonder. What a treasure. That you would become human, one of us, to pursue us, to pay our price. To give us your grace. What can we say but thank you? We simply come and acknowledge our need and say thank you. We had no hope outside of a gift from you. We were lost. And you came to seek and to save.
the lost. We gladly and gratefully and humbly receive a gift from your hand and we say thank you. His body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash sinners clean. Drink.